The date is June 9th, 2000, and we're watching Gone in 60 Seconds. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Memphis Reigns to my Eleanor.
Hello, everybody. I'm Colin Stewart. I will not be riding in or on Sean.
No, but I'm a high-performance machine.
I guess.
So this week we are looking back at June 2000 when the movies and theaters were, Gladiator, Mission Impossible 2, subject of episode 115, Road Trip, subject of episode 146, Shanghai Noon, and of course our movie for today, Gone in 60 Seconds, which earned $237 million on a $90 million budget.
Damn.
Not too bad. Yeah, I mean, Jerry Bruckheimer delivers, son.
Nice. Well, as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, like...
Having your car stolen?
Having your car stolen? I was going to say something like, I'm going to be as silent as a Sphinx on spoilers or something. No, that doesn't work.
I see.
Yeah, if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please hit pause, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
Like digging through dog shit for keys? That's pretty
there you go.
Spoiled.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Ugh, gross. And so the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie, I've got three of them. First one, lock your car or it may be gone in 60 seconds.
I don't know if I like that one. That one seems too forced.
Yeah. See, now the scene where Mirror Man goes to the garage, or sorry, to the police impound, the guy that is in the booth at the impound, there is a sign behind him that says this, which is also a sign that was in the impound yard in the original Gone in 60 Seconds. So there is this whole, like, multi-layered meaning to this particular tagline, but I agree, it's kind of lame. It's too obvious. It's too there. I don't know.
I had no idea this was a remake.
Oh, wow. Outstanding. Yes, it is. It is. Yes, a movie from like 1974. Mm-hmm. Which I have seen, but I completely forget. But like when this movie first came out, I sought out the original and watched it. It's not quite the same, but there is a big long car chase with a 1967 Shelby GT, like there is in this movie, that takes up a big portion of the movie. So that is still part of it. Well, tagline number two, ice cold, hot wired. That's more Jerry Bruckheimer. There he is. He's showing his face.
Yeah, I don't mind that one. That one's at least clever.
Yeah.
Is there one that like references like 0 to 60? I always thought that Gone in 60 Seconds had to do with that, like, but I guess now I'm thinking about it, the 60 and 0 to 60 is kilometers. And if you went 0 to 60 in 60 seconds, that's probably like not what people are looking for.
Yeah. Well, the last one, I'm sorry, it's not all that exciting. The last one is Cut to the Chase.
I like it better than the first one.
Yeah. Well, they may not be very good descriptions of the movie, so let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
There's going to be a lot of weird references in this one for people to pick up on. Actually, no, that's the Power Rangers one. This one has a couple, but not as many. Look forward to that. Okay. When his brother Kip pisses off a British Time Lord, I mean Crime Lord, by failing to deliver him an order of stolen cars, former car thief Memphis Reigns is forced to leave his civilian life behind, return home, and save his brother from being murdered by using his carjacking abilities to track down, steal, and deliver 50 cars to a shipping container headed to South America. Unable to do it alone, Memphis reaches out to his old crew and decides that, despite having 3 days to complete the mission, the best course of action will be to jack all 50 cars in one night. It's a race to the finish as Memphis is forced to confront the tensions of his past, mend some relational fences, and find a way to ride his unicorn to glory, all while keeping one step ahead of the police. There we go. Wow.
That's 60 seconds. I should have been like, this is a gone in 60 seconds synopsis.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you go.
Right on. Gone in 60 seconds. I am a sucker for a heist movie and often a sucker for a Nick Cage movie. I'm not necessarily all up in his shit, but I do enjoy a good Nick Cage. Especially, you know, he always has some quirk where he's unhinged. We've had him, what, twice on this show? Con Air,
for sure.
Yeah, and Meguiary, we had him for City of Angels. Yeah.
Sorry,
I've seen the romantic side of Nick Cage.
I pushed that movie from my mind.
I am a sucker for a heist movie, and so when this movie came out, I mean, I guess I should also add to that, I'm a sucker for a Jerry Bruckheimer movie. So when this movie first came out, the combination of the three, I mean, we have this holy trinity going on of Nick Cage, Bruckheimer, and a heist movie. I'm all in. And, I mean, we're in the era of Fast and the Furious, so it's car chases, too. It's all exciting shit. And so I was all in on this movie. I've always loved this movie. And so to have this as one of our action movies, it's not necessarily, it's an action movie. There's car chases. The whole back half of the movie. Yeah, absolutely.
There's gunfights and
there is gunplay, absolutely. Colin, what is your experience with Gone in 60 Seconds?
First, I have to ask, do you have a favorite heist movie?
Ooh. There's some good ones. Inside Man is a good one.
I was going to say that's my favorite for sure. That movie blew my mind.
I love The Perfect Score.
Okay, haven't seen it.
That has Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson. They're high school students trying to steal the answers to the SATs. Mm. Fucking brilliant movie. There is a Ryan Reynolds movie called Foolproof that I love.
Okay, haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's actually Canadian made, I believe. But yeah, it's a cool one. And he's someone that like practices just for fun, having to do heists, and then he gets pulled into the real thing. It's interesting. Yeah. So I think those are a few, and I love an Ocean's 11 movie.
Okay.
I mean, even the fucking ones that don't make sense, and even the one with chicks, I'm still there for even those. But yeah, I mean, I love a smart one like Inside Man. That one is probably one of those ones that's way up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Gone in 60 Seconds being like all the rage. Like, I am not by any means like a car enthusiast, but I grew up in a small town full of them. And I remember people like raving about this movie and loving it so much. I remember like looking back at like having watched it now, I'm shocked that it was allowed, but I remember we watched this movie in like a like in school one day because somebody like like as a movie day we watched it. And I definitely remember it being really popular, and I remember enjoying it, not thinking that it was like I've always liked this movie, but I never thought it was like amazing. But I always remember enjoying it. I think like now I appreciate Nicolas Cage, but for the longest time I thought he was so weird.
Oh, he is. He is a very weird man, but yeah. He's just one of those ones that you can't look away, though. There's just something that draws you to him.
Yeah, and I think this movie appealed to me a lot more after the fact, like, I think a year later, Fast and the Furious comes out, and so I think after watching that, I enjoyed, I don't know, maybe Fast and the Furious, like, it took me to that next level of, like, fast cars and heists and action and all that, so then I appreciated Gone in 60 Seconds more. I actually was, like, because I remember that they had come, those movies had come out, like, near each other, like, within a year of each other, but in my mind, I had always thought that Fast and the Furious came out first, but so I was surprised to find out that it was Gone in 60 Seconds came out first.
Yeah, but they were all still entwined with each other. I mean, Gone in 60 Seconds was still in the conversation when Fast and the Furious came out.
Yeah, like, I was actually thinking after watching this movie that, like, you know, the Fast and the Furious franchise is going to end at Fast, like, the next one or whatever. And I was just like, one of the most epic things that they could do would be to get Memphis Reigns. And, like, Nick Cage would totally fit in the Fast and the Furious world. They've had every actor imaginable be a part of that franchise. Like, I actually feel like he's, like, the missing link. And to bring Memphis Reigns to be, like, the guy who saves Dominic and his son, like, in the cliffhanger that Fast 11 is going to open up on would be... It's the best thing I can think of after somehow, like, resurrecting Paul Walker or Brian O'Connor to be there.
That's what I want.
But if Memphis Reigns showed up, I would be pleasantly surprised and mind blown and be like,
that would be a pretty amazing person to add to the squad. You're right. That is just one of those extra little sprinkles you could put on top of the sundae that is the Fast and the Furious franchise. Fast and the Furious legacy.
Like, gone in 60 seconds is kind of like what Fast and the Furious becomes later on. Like, around Fast 5 is basically Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, look what we can do now. Well, okay, well, let's jump. Or, let's ride!
Yeah,
let's ride. It's time for Gone in 60 Seconds, directed by Dominic Senna, who hasn't directed since 2011 with Season of the Witch, which was also a Nick Cage movie with terrible ratings on
that
IMDb.
Is the worst. That is in my top three worst movies I ever saw in theaters.
Outstanding.
It's, well, so bad.
That was the last thing he ever directed. Well, so
it makes sense.
Yeah, produced by Mike Stenson and Jerry Bruckheimer, and written by H.B. Halicki, who is the writer of the 1974 motion picture. And he's got a couple other movies called The Junk Man and The Deadline Auto Theft, which both feature a character named Mandrian Pace, and both mention Eleanor in them. So... There's this whole Gone in 60 Seconds universe from the 70s that this is based on, because I read the synopsis for Deadline Auto Theft is basically like this storyline. Okay. We have to deliver 50 cars in 48 hours. It's this storyline. And so you've taken the original Gone in 60 Seconds and that other movie and merged them, and that's what gives you 2000s Nick Cage version. Yeah.
Nice.
So, and also another writer, Scott Rosenberg, who is we talked about him with Con Air. He was the writer there. Jumanji, the new ones, and Venom. He also, he plays the off the books doctor. He has a cameo in this movie. Yeah. When the kid gets shot and he's that doctor. Yeah. Comes out, has one line or some shit. Yeah.
Nice.
So I guess the trailer for this movie is narrated by a girl, Melissa Disney, and it's one of the first major movies to employ a female trailer voice.
Good for them. Very progressive.
I didn't go
Leading
to
the
find
way.
it anywhere, but yeah, look at them, trailblazers breaking through that glass ceiling, all that shit. So we open this movie with the weird high octane sounds, and then the opening animation that turns into like pictures of the family, you know, the whole montage to. And last week, I want to mention, just thinking about the credits, I think I mentioned that Casey Affleck was in this movie. I was thinking Ocean's 11 when I said that he was in this movie.
Okay.
For some reason, I saw him and Scott Conn paired up. But
Were you th
is Scott Conn also in Ocean's 11? I think he might be.
Is he? Oh, he what? Yeah, he is in Ocean's 11.
Yeah, they've got the remote controlled cars, and at one point, his monster truck versus the remote control car. Anyway,
I don't
so
know. I think I said that. I think I talked about this when we did Ready to Rumble, but I need more Scott Conn. I like him. I like him as an actor. He's one of those actors that when he I forget about him when I don't see him, but when I see him show up on screen, I'm like, yes, I'm glad to
yeah.
see you.
Well, he did like 8 or 9 seasons of Hawaii 5-0. I
Oh, really?
mean,
I did not know
yeah.
that.
That's where he disappeared
That's where
to,
he's
if
been.
you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But he should be
Should we just
back.
run to Yeah.
That was that. Yeah, let's run this down since we're talking about people anyway. Let's get that out of the way. Yeah.
All right, we got Nicolas Cage as Randall Memphis Reigns.
And Brad Pitt was considered for the role. You can see it, but it's not the same movie,
I
you
can see
know?
it. Yeah, I can see it if I take my mind back to like 1999, 2000s
Fight
Brad
Club
Pitt,
Brad Pitt.
but like when I think about it now, I'm like, oh, I can't see that Brad Pitt. Well,
But
actually, I don't know, maybe.
I mean,
It's
Ocean's
not,
11, he had a heist
yeah.
movie.
And it's not far off from like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like I can see that Brad Pitt doing this
Yeah.
movie.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie
Good segue.
is here as Sarah Sway Wayland. I feel like this movie is for me what it's for Angelina Jolie, what like Transformers was for Megan Fox.
Yeah.
I just remember. I feel like there's even a similar scene somewhere of like that like put it, that stereotypical Megan Fox from Transformers over the car engine. But I just remember it being this is the trailer being all about how sexy Angelina Jolie is.
Well, yeah, but yet she's rock and roll, right? She rides a
Yeah.
motorbike. She drinks
She's
out of a gas can, man.
I was gonna say it's the year 2000, so she's very nu metal.
Yeah,
Like
she had
she
dreadlocks.
listens to Korn and Limp Bizkit and Papa
Yeah,
Roach and
she has
like
two jobs. She shoots whiskey. She is a cool chick. And you gotta know that.
You don't want to not the type of girl you want to marry but
Yeah. She doesn't wear the red lipstick, but she'll put it on for you.
Robert Duvall is Otto Hallowell.
Have we had no? For some reason, I was thinking we've had him for something on our show before.
I don't think so, but I definitely know we've
Yeah.
had Will Patton.
Yeah, Armageddon.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
He plays Atlee Jackson.
Yeah. Basically the same guy in a way. You could see this guy end up going and getting a job on a rig after the events of Gone in 60 Seconds go down, and yeah.
Delroy Lindo is Detective Roland Castlebeck.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's always in things and then but I don't remember any of the things that he's in. It's like, oh yeah, that guy. I know that guy.
Giovanni Ribisi is Kip Rains.
And I mean, when this movie came out, like he was so familiar to me because of Friends
All right, he's
as
Phoebe's
Phoebe's
brother,
brother, where it's
right?
just like I always thought of Kip Rains as kind of an extension of that character in a way. I mean, Phoebe's brother is dumber, but still, I have trouble taking Giovanni Ribisi seriously a lot of the time.
Yeah, I would say whenever I actually forget that he's Phoebe's brother, but when I think of him, I always think of this movie.
Yeah, he's just a squirrely dude, man. My dude.
We have Christopher, I'm gonna say Eccleston
Eccleston, yeah, I'd say
as
Eccleston.
Raymond Calitri
Yeah.
from Doctor Who fame.
That's right.
The notorious Ninth Doctor. He was also, I mean, he's like, anytime you need a really good bad guy, I feel like he's the guy you should call.
He does a good one, yeah. But he has to throw in a quirk, like he's got a weird obsession with wood.
The Carpenter. Vinnie Jones is Sphinx. Sphinx?
Oh yeah, Euro trip.
Yeah. Scott Cann is Tumblr. TJ Cross is Mirror Man.
He's the only non-linker in this list. I see, yeah. He's only black name on the list. Like everyone else is a hyperlink.
James Duvall is Freb. Very,
Fred.
very young. This has to be one of his like first roles, I'm sure. Timothy Oliphant is Detective Dreykov.
Well, there's also the movie Go, which would have been a little bit earlier than this, I think. I think that was 90s. He's younger in that. Yeah, but totally. Definitely young in this one. He doesn't have the zaddy quality yet. Yeah.
Chai McBride is Donnie Astrichi.
And he is someone that was on Hawaii Five-0 with Scott Conn.
Okay.
Yeah.
William Lee Scott is Toby.
Yeah.
Grace Zabriskie is Helen Rains. Frances Fisher is Junie Hallowell. I'm gonna skip all these because I
Yeah,
don't know.
blah, blah,
We got
blah.
Master P is Johnny B.
Johnny P.
And then I'm gonna go to Michael Peña.
Yeah, Michael
Michael
Pena.
Peña shows up in this movie as
He looks young.
he looks very young as
Yeah.
Ignacio.
Yeah. There is also the guy at the dealership, James Lakewood, is Air Gross. And for some reason, he's someone that sticks out because he's like this character actor that shows up in a lot of sitcoms. And I remember he was in the Ellen sitcom.
Is he the one that gives them the
The
Mercedes
keys,
keys?
yeah.
When I saw him, I thought that was I really thought that was Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, I could see that, yeah. Especially in this at this age, yeah, that could totally be him, yeah. I see that. So, Gone in 60 Seconds, when the title was translated to Greek for the Greek theaters, it was translated to Come in 60 Seconds. So, that's an entirely different movie. That's a much dirtier sounding movie. So,
That's the Brazzers release.
yeah. So we open the and then we open the movie. Yeah, because it's a Jerry Bruckheimer movie, we're immediately thrown into the action. I mean, we get to learn a little bit about the family with the bad Photoshop photos that we had in the opening, like credits. But then we're immediately thrown into it where they are breaking into a Porsche dealership with a brick. That's not a tool, that's a damn brick. And we're just thrown into a car chase right off the top.
Yeah, it's hard to feel sorry for Kip
Exactly.
in this situation because it's like literally like
Yes.
I get maybe you were in a time crunch, but like what did you think was gonna happen? Like he literally just brings all the police to his lair
Yep.
and yeah.
And mostly because he couldn't help himself from drag racing that g other guy. All because he was hitting on a chick, because he felt like, he was Mr. Big Dick with his new, brand new stolen Porsche. Yeah, otherwise, I don't think he would have drawn the attention to him. Kip's
No.
just a fucking dummy. He
Yeah.
is Phoebe's brother. See?
True. Frank Buffet Jr.
Yeah, I still got a kick out of Scott Conn explaining the stranger as well, where you sit on your hand until your hand falls asleep before you rub one out. I don't know why that still makes me. It's like the Dutch rudder in Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Same sort of thing. Just one of those stupid things that for some reason is always hilarious to me. Yeah.
I was gonna say it reminds me of the like stink hand from Mallrats.
That too. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Kip leads the police right to them, and so our heroes are busted. They try to get away from the police, get out of their factory, warehouse, whatever it is. I love how good they are with movies like this, with a Jerry Bruckheimer movie, about making sure that all the important details are pointed out in like hyper slow motion. Like when they break the glass of the black light bulb trying to get out of there, and there's just this moment of like slow motion glass.
He really does the work for his audience.
Yeah, it's such a move of a Jerry Bruckheimer production. It sure is. Like, it doesn't matter who the director is on a Jerry Bruckheimer production, you're always going to have the Jerry Bruckheimer stamp on it.
Yeah.
Like, he must be a very hands-on producer.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm sure, like, he probably...
Or does he just pick people that do things the same way he does?
Maybe, I guess, I wonder, like, I've always had, like, a question about how, like, what it means to be a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always thought the producers were kind of just, like, the people who put up the money. But I guess, like, if you own, like, a production company, you probably want to have some sort of, like, aesthetic, like, absolutely, to your brand. So,
yeah.
I'm sure he probably picks a director and is, like, this is kind of like the aesthetic that we put in our movies. So make sure that you, you know, do some of these things.
I suppose so. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting too, because when you listen to something like Office Ladies, when they talk about, oh yeah, we were made producers in the 9th season. And so we had guidance of where the story was going. It's like, those are creative producers, but they are still just called producers. So it's like, I don't know.
It also feels like when you have actors who get, like, in that type of situation, it's also, like, part of that weird credits game in Hollywood, where it's, like, if you want to be a producer, then you have to have producer credits, and so it's, like, they give actors these producer credits, so that they kind of, like, then when they want to make a movie, they're like, well, I was a producer on The Office, you know, and it's, like, this weird, like, political, I don't know, just, like, shilling that you have to do.
Guild of America. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we ultimately in this end up meeting our hero for the movie, who is running a go-kart track. And I mean, I don't know if I would watch the Memphis Reigns from a distance and think that this man should be around my children. Or do you think he's the perfect person to be around children? Like, what kind of vibe do you think, as a parent, what kind of vibe is this man giving off to you if he is running your child's birthday party at his go-kart track?
I mean, I feel like you always kind of expect somebody who runs and operates a go-kart track to be a little bit unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like he's living somewhere in, like, the middle of the desert. So I feel like... You gotta have that
carny attitude, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like options are limited.
Okay.
And I'm sure everyone around there is a little, like, whacked, so...
Yeah.
He probably goes fairly unnoticed.
I mean, am I just prejudiced because it is Nicolas Cage? And no matter what, like, when you have images of him in things like City of Angels, it's hard to see him but anything but creepy.
Maybe. Nicolas Cage just has this, his brand is also just being like,
whatever kind of unhinged you need.
Yeah, like a hair prick away from true insanity. Like, no matter what he's doing, he always appears as though he's, like, you know, he's like one bad day away from just, like, you know, becoming a school shooter or, like, some sort of terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
But he's keeping it together, you know? Like, he's... That's kind of how I describe Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. So his buddy, what was his name again? Atlee comes to visit him and tells him that his brother Kip is in trouble, and that, oh my God, just when I thought I was out, they're dragging me back in. He has to go back. I mean, it's the classic story, right? I mean, no matter what, with Gone in 60 Seconds, it's like they don't fuck around. They just, whatever. They know that this is brain candy. They know it's never going to win any awards. Fuck it, we're going to have fun. It's going to be stupid. You're going to love it. Right? That's always been my view of Gone in 60 Seconds, right?
Yeah, like it never takes itself so seriously. And like you're saying, in true Bruckheimer fashion, it's just like immediately we're in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no lead up. There's no like, it's just, you know, the brother fucks up. We meet Memphis and then he's in the Caletri's office.
You have 72 hours. Oh, another heist movie I forgot about. The Italian Job. I fucking love The Italian Job too.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either.
Oh man. Marky Mark. Ed Norton.
Aww. I think the problem is that it also came around Fast and the Furious. But by that time I was a Fast and the Furious like evangelist, so I was too much of a snob to like lower myself to watch anything that wasn't you're like, Fast and the Furious.
Something that has souped up Mini Coopers, please.
Yeah, I was like, seen it. They're just copying Fast and the Furious is what I probably said.
Yeah. So Memphis Reigns goes to meet Raymond Caletri. We see that he's just a bad man with a weird obsession for wood. I gotta say, you don't even pick up your $10,000, man.
No,
he doesn't want it. Like, it's just gonna sit on the office. Like, or is Raymond Caletri gonna come back after Memphis Reigns and be like, "Well, it's $10,000." I mean, I'll pick up a nickel.
Yeah, it's always the funny thing I was thinking with scenes like that is like in the movies, no one ever picks up the money. It's like, we just have, right? I'll get my $10,000 later. But like in real life, you know that people would be like, well, if you're not going to take it, I guess. And like, why'd you have to throw it all over? Like, they spend 15 minutes picking it all up.
Yeah. 52 pickup. Oh my God. I hate those people, right? Yeah. I mean, how successful is this business for, I'm assuming he's an ex-con, right? I'm assuming Memphis Reigns has done time. Or are the cops just always ready to catch him?
Yeah, that I was going to say is a hole in this story that I felt didn't get explained. Because I would assume like Memphis did time. Based on his relationship with the cops, it seems like he did time and like got out, and now he's like, I don't know, almost on like a probation type situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then with the team, it kind of just seems like he just up and left one day.
And but we decided. See the informant, who is like definitely someone on probation, and how much they push him around.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like with Memphis Reigns, they're really cool. Like they can't intimidate him. So that tells me that maybe he's just never been caught. That is, though, one of my favorite things about this movie is that, okay, we have bad guy, good guy interaction. Like, I love the relationship of I'll catch you later, Memphis, you know? Like, I love all that, you know? That was something that the movie that we watched the other day was missing. I forget whatever it was. Was that Masters of the Universe that we were saying that about? No, it was Time Cop that we were saying that about. Yeah. Yeah, where it's just like it was missing that buddy cop the rivalry or, you know, like any of that.
The gamesmanship.
Yeah. And so I do like that about this movie is that, you know, the cops are just as much a part of this as the villains. They're not just these doo-doo-doo-doo-doo looking for them. Like, I do like that both are kind of an equal importance.
Mm-hmm.
And getting crushed in a car, I gotta say, terrifying.
Yeah, not my favorite way to go for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I've decided that burning water is the worst, right? When you light oil on fire on water, because like,
yeah,
that's the worst, right? But, you know, the getting crushed in a car seems like pretty horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw this video on Instagram the other day. It was this like crash, this like I think it was Formula One. There was like a race car crash in the 80s or 90s where there was like a methanol fire, and apparently like methanol fires burn invisible. So it's like
Yes.
all these guys were like on fire, but you couldn't see the flames, but they're like reacting
They're
like
like
they're
and melting and
yeah.
yeah, like
And I was like, man, that would be actually scary, because you'd be like, well, I don't know where it is. I don't know, you're just getting
I
burned.
can't see it. Yeah. Now, speaking of Formula One, what's up with Robert Duvall and his weird NASCAR ASMR fucking porn that
Yeah,
he's got
I
going
don't
on?
know.
Right? Like, I've always thought this is weird, where it's like coming around the third corner at Le Mans. Like, well, fuck. Like, everyone's
Yeah.
got a quirk.
This is like a car thing that like I do not understand. Like I don't know, my brother is a mechanic and like loves cars and loves engines and that kind of stuff. I it's safe to say am not. I remember in my small town, like I grew up in the days when people would like, take the muffler off and just let the engine roar
Oh,
and like
gross, yeah.
just do laps around the town and stuff. And like, and I remember like friends of mine would just like stand by this and just listen to the engine rev and be like, whoa, whoa, so amazing, listen to the power. And I would be like, and I'm just sitting there being like,
Hell yeah.
whatever that is, it's like I do not get it. I like
Yeah.
unequivocally do not understand like what the allure, what the interest, what the attraction is to like that sound. But then I'm sure there are people like Otto who like, I feel like this comes up in like the early Fast and in the first Fast and the Furious too, where it's like, yeah, people just listening to like the sounds of races and like listening to the being able to like identify each car by like the engine. I'm like, man.
I mean, I know I've told this story on this show before, or like, I don't know whether it was with you or whether it was with Aaron, but when I worked at FedEx, there was once that I had to deliver to the Indy back when the Indy was here. And so I was actually delivering decals to a car. And so I got to be toured around behind the scenes of the Indy event in the golf cart. And when I was doing that, it's like, okay, I kind of get it now. Like, I've never been a NASCAR guy by any means, but like, driving around there, it's like, okay, I get it. I can feel the electricity. So that was like the only taste that I've ever had of really truly being a car guy, where it's like, I got zapped with 20 minutes of, he took the long way to take me back because I was kind of excited being back behind the scenes there. It's like, oh, hey, Danica Patrick's car. That's a name I know.
Cool.
But the weird, oh, whatever. Anyway, so because it's
Actually, I would be like, the way that Otto listens to, I'm sure there's somebody who's just like loves like audio like porn where they're just like, oh yeah, oh here it comes, here
oh
it
yeah,
comes, and you're
absolutely. Yeah, it's
just
the worst. Yeah, it's insane.
like, oh man, like I wonder what Otto does in his own time. He's just
I mean, what's the one called where it's like listening to people eat something smacking the buck smack or muck bang or something like that? Muck banging?
mukbang.
It might be muck banging actually. Yeah.
I don't know.
And
I'm too afraid of Googling that word to confirm.
ooh, yeah. I don't suggest it. So they because it's a Jerry Bruckheimer production, we also have plenty of montages. Look under your chair. There's a montage for you and a montage for you. Everyone gets a montage because the first one, we got to go down the list and see who's available to join this crew, because right now it's a crew of one, but he was here hoping for a second one. So they have to call everyone and we get all the little funny, like the moaning. Oh, it sounds like you're busy. Sounds like you're very busy. And they're the people that are dead. Like I like the Jimmy the Fish one. Is Jimmy the Fish there? And no, he's dead. And then they call the next guy. He took off with that son of a bitch Jimmy Fish down to Florida. If you see him, tell him I want my money back. I think that's all.
Yeah.
So much story told in so little time. That's how you do Jerry Bruckheimer. And so all they're left with is Sphinx and Sway. I don't get Sphinx's deal. I, you know, like, why does he have to silent Bob this movie? You know, why does he have to come in at the end with some big impassioned speech, but that's it?
I mean, I think if I had to guess, it's because Vinnie Jones, he's not good in roles when he's talking a lot, mm-hmm. unless he's absolutely insane. Like, I can't think of a role where he's just played like a normal person and played some like brash, outspoken, like just like psychotic. Whatever,
The whole push a button if it's you. Like, we can't even just do a grunt. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little too far of a quirk for that character. But everyone needs a quirk.
But it is funny because you're right. It's not even a joke. Like, he actually silent bobs when he, because that, then he talks at the end and it's this big eloquent like philosophy. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, everyone's got their own Chasing Amy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Memphis goes to try to convince Sway to become part of the team. You know, and so he goes to see her at work and she needs to get to work. And he says, "You're at work." And so he has to follow her to work. I'm curious about the time in between. Is the garage right next door to the bar? They pick up the conversation at the bar. I'm curious about the time in between her rolling out from underneath that car, leaving for work, and them just picking up the conversation. I don't know. Hollywood magic.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, that is very much like it doesn't make sense logically, but it works for the movie's purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. How about that drink? That's right. What are they drinking, though? Well, why don't I tell you about it in Sponsorship Corner? I've always hated that line in there. Yeah, how about that drink? Come on. And you're drinking at work, you're going to get fired, Sway. Fuck. So always on the lookout for product placement in movies. This week, Gone in 60 Seconds is brought to you by Cars. Surprised? We got Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Chevrolet, GMC, Jaguar, Ferrari, Lamborghini, Cadillac, BMW, Porsche, and Mercedes. Caterpillar Equipment, Valvoline Motor Oil, Mack Tools, Kenwood Radios, Pepsi Cola, Miller Lite Beer, Jack Daniels, Tennessee Whiskey, there's what they were doing shots of, Heinz Ketchup, and Dunkin' Donuts, plus the fictional Pete's Service, Exeter Salvage and Steel, Bar Quality Cafe, that's two different ones. Bar, that's where she works, is Bar, Quality Cafe, Quality Used Cars, and Dressin' Foreign Auto. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. Yeah, you can tell who didn't mind showing that their cars are stealable. No Volkswagen on that list. No classic Beetle that they wanted to steal.
I wonder if this movie led to like an increased theft in any of those cars.
For someone like Mercedes, it was their chance to say, let's show them that this car is unstealable. Even the professional thieves, the only thing they can do is get a key.
Yeah.
They can only steal this car with a key. Fuck you, we're Mercedes. All right, so we've got the whole squad together. We've only got like 2 days to get this together and steal a bunch of cars, and that's when all the young guys show up.
I love that on Wikipedia, so somebody actually took the time to like list each car and the corresponding like name.
Oh my god, I have that list too. Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering whether we wanted to go down that, because yes, I have that list right here.
Nah,
no. No, yeah, that might be too much, yeah. I jumped over a part. I missed after he talks to Sway. He does go out to the parking lot, and this is where we meet Johnny B.
Yeah. Johnny B,
you're in my turf.
The Johnny B story, like, adds half an hour to this movie that could literally be cut out, and it would not affect anything. Would not know. Like, it just, like, he's such a weird add-on to this movie, where, like, the main problem is already so large. And the thing that's, like, really funny about Johnny B is, like, I get, like, they end up getting him arrested. But, like, in a... I don't know how to say it. It's an unsatisfying story plot line that he doesn't show up at the end in some way to have one last stab to, like, really foil the plan.
Yeah, in the way of one of the cars that they're trying to heist or something.
Yeah, what if he stole Eleanor before, or stole some car, or stole the keys,
or
somehow got in the way of, like, the last car that they needed, so you could have, like, the final the final stand with Johnny B before you have the final stand with Caligari. Like, it's just so weird that he shows up. And then he has, like, his second scene, and then he's just out of the movie for the rest of it. It's bizarre.
It's almost like someone owed Master P a favor, and totally. They needed to figure out a way to put him in this movie. They're like, well, we could do a foot chase.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we're Master P and Nicolas Cage friends or something, and he just, like, owed him one. They're like, it's just a weird. It's just a really weird. Add-on to this.
You know, and the funny thing is, I've never thought about it before, right? Like, this is the first time that that's really being brought to my attention of, oh yeah, it really is, like, nothing. Like, forces, like, Kip and Memphis to have a moment together in the cafe before they end up fucking with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, gives Nick Cage a chance to do some crazy acting when he's talking to the truck driver about how to become a truck driver.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but whatever. We get to see some cars explode. Maybe that was the other thing. It's like they had the budget for some explosions.
It does serve as, like, the introduction of Sphinx, I guess, into how much of a badass he is.
Mm-hmm. He sure is. Stuffing a rag in there and lighting it on fire. That's amazing. That's one of the best introductions ever.
It's pretty extreme to just blow up somebody's car and then, like, beat the shit out of them. Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, we've got three exploded cars in the parking lot of a bar. This isn't going to be big news. Like, you know, it should come up in a future scene as well. Just like Johnny B should have come back for another quick moment in this movie. You know, the fact that we've got three exploded cars.
Yeah. I mean, Bruckheimer loves explosions. We'd have to go back to the scene, like, when Memphis first meets Caligari. I couldn't help but laugh when they're doing the walk through the salvage yard. And I was just, what is this salvage yard where there's just puffs of flame coming up from everywhere.
Yeah, sparks flying from random places, flames. Yeah, it's like a Terminator factory. I don't know. Yeah, it's like a Batman factory.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, that's where I was. It reminds me of, like, some super, like, he's not just a mob. He's like a super villain. He has, like, a super villain layer in this salvage yard.
Yeah.
I love when they bring in the new guys team, that their contribution basically comes down to, we understand computers. Like, it's so, like,
it's so old school versus new school.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how to internet, grandpa. That's basically what the guy says.
Yeah. That's essentially what it comes down to. Yeah, and they've got all these fun gadgets and gizmos as well. I mean, the fingerprint stickers. I don't think I would trust those. I think if I was wearing gloves, I think I'd probably stick to my gloves. I think.
Yeah. Like, what is the point of wearing fingerprint sticker? Like, were they to get somebody else's fingerprints?
Yeah, they were Elvis's fingerprints.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which was the extra joke about it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But, I mean, still, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I have Band-Aids come off all the fucking time. I don't know if I would trust those well enough. Did he super glue them on? Like,
if the goal is to just not have your fingerprints, why not just wear gloves, I guess? Like, yeah. That's like
draw Mission more attention, maybe.
That's like Mission Impossible stuff if you like had to like get somebody's fingerprints so that you could use like a hand scanner or something like that. But if that's not the need, what is the point of new fingerprints?
Yeah.
Except exactly. just to spread the Elvis conspiracy.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it is. But yeah, so we get another montage. We get them the collecting intel montage. Really, when they get to Eleanor, like, if he could, Memphis Reigns would fuck that car, right?
Yes. I think that's safe to say.
he's probably found a way in the past, actually. They all of the Eleanors, they made 7 Eleanors for this movie. They're all replicas, and there were 2 left at the end. Jerry Bruckheimer got to keep one, and Nicolas Cage got to keep one. I guess Nicolas Cage drives his all the time, but Jerry Bruckheimer won't drive his for some reason. But there is one real Eleanor in this movie, and it's the junky one at the end. Huh. But the thing is, they made it junky. I guess it was a restored car that they made look junky and then had to restore back to its original. And it's like, why? Why would you go to all that trouble of having a real Shelby GT350? Like,
why not just use the replica to look like junk? Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows what the rich do? Yeah. I wonder, does Eleanor show up in... what's that one he does where he's playing himself, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched it. It's in my watch list, but I haven't gotten around to watching it myself. Yeah. Got to take a break from Pedro Pascal. I just ripped through The Last of Us, finally.
Oh, nice.
What's his next series with a kid that he has adopted going to be?
He's carving out a niche.
That's right. He's your go-to guy if that's what you want. So, okay, when the younger kids do join them, that one kid, doesn't he look like Joey Jeremiah? Were you ever a Degrassi watcher?
I did watch.
The one that's only good for getting pizzas.
Maybe. I definitely was looking at him. Like, I thought at first I was like, is that Justin Long? And then I was like, no.
That too, yeah. Okay.
But... he looks like, what is he in? He looks so familiar.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I agree, he's one of those guys that
could even he's in Independence Day. That's why.
Oh, he's the son. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be the one. Yeah. I guess the scene where he steals the car with the trunk full of heroin, that is something that was in the original Gone in 60 Seconds, the revving the engine to blow away the heroin scene.
That's a good scene. Classic.
I guess it's now heist night. Why not? Let's go to heist night. Yeah, Nick Cage is suited up because he's a bad guy. He gets his tools out. Oh, yeah. And they have to listen to Lowrider before they go. I do like the generational gap. The difference between, like, the kids with, like, what the fuck is going on with this crazy guy? But everyone else being like, nope, this is what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Memphis Reigns started it, right? Like, there's no way. Like, everyone else that is in that crew at one point had the same looks on their face as those kids, but now they just roll with it, right? Like, that's 100% the backstory.
Yeah, that's Memphis's. That's his thing.
He's forced it upon them. Yeah.
His tradition.
Yeah. He has to wait for the perfect time to say, let's ride. That's his thing. Needs a catchphrase.
Nick Cage.
I mean, this movie, I mean, it's so stupid, but I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good. Yeah, they find out the ladies are dirty thanks to the reconnaissance and the fact that someone in an SUV parked in front of the stakeout van. And so the ladies are dirty. And we also have the weird talk about cars, foreplay talk. Like, he is a weird... Memphis Reigns is a weird, weird man. Like, why do these two get so turned on talking about camshafts and...
I know, it's like...
Maybe, catalytic converters and shit.
Maybe this movie is the reason why I never became a car person, because I was just like, it's creeping me out.
Yeah, they're sitting there watching those people, you know, fuck, and... But it's turning them on to talk about cars more than it is watching the, you know, attractive people up in the...
They're Mercedes, right? They're dirty.
Yeah, the dirty ladies.
Then they have the plan to go get the ones that the young guys lost at the beginning of the movie.
That's right.
By breaking into the police impound.
Mm-hmm. Solid plan.
Yeah.
Or solid pivot, at least.
Yeah. That was decent. Probably my favorite part of, like, the heist is the scene with Sphinx and, is it Mirror Man? Is that the black guy?
Yeah,
with the Hummer and the snake.
I guess he wasn't actually, the cop was never supposed to actually fall off the railing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but something got turned slightly wrong in the stunt, and so he got pushed off too far, but the Hummer couldn't get by, and he was supposed to get past him. So they just pushed him off, so yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I guess if you're a stuntman, you just go with it.
Yeah.
No one was like, stop. The actors did all their own driving, or a lot of their own driving, especially Nick Cage. So, impressive. And this is one where I'm actually impressed with the CGI that they do use in this movie, because that's things like when the Eleanor car chase, the shipyard, the tank that is blowing everywhere, that's all CGI. Same with the wrecking ball through the wall is CGI. They like blow out the wall with like they push a truck through the wall, but there's no wrecking ball there. Yeah, so the wrecking ball itself is CGI.
Wow.
Yeah, 2000 CGI, fooling you.
Even the fly, even the flying Mustang isn't that bad.
Well, okay, sure. I guess it's okay, but yeah, the flying Mustang is definitely the part of the car chase where it's like, okay,
they jump the shark. Come
on. A little too much, yeah. I could have believed like half that distance.
Yeah.
Right. Like I would have even, you know, like I would have even. Yeah, been happy with that. Half that distance, sure, but it's the fact that at one point it's basically just flying.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to me because, like, I'll compare this movie to Fast and the Furious, but when you watch this movie, and then I remember thinking, like, back in the day, like, the thing that separated Fast and the Furious from this movie was that Fast and the Furious was, like, so grounded. Like, these are the words I would have used to describe Fast and the Furious back then. It was, like, grounded and, like, real.
Times have changed.
Yeah. And this movie was, like, so sensational and, like, you know, like, off the wall. Yep. And then to think about, like, Fast and the Furious now, and you're like, yeah, the times have definitely changed. Like, Gone in 60 Seconds is more of, like, a modern Fast and the Furious movie than Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. The part where the kids end up getting shot because, you know, the young kid goes along. That guy, the Toby, right? That's his name, Toby. The girl that spots him at the party, he's married to her now in real life. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I think that they got married in 2002.
Sweet. That whole scene, again, even stealing that car, I was like, these young guys are so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the beginning of the movie wasn't enough to convince you, but, like, this one is, they're also so shitty. Like, this one is also bad.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you get lost, you like, you're doing an, like, okay, see, the night of the party is one of those things that makes me realize, like, how do they get so lucky? I realize you did the recon last night, but really, like, how do you get so lucky that every car is parked exactly where it was? Like, you recon something in front of a casino. How, okay, if that, even if that guy's like the pit boss, how do you know he's working that night?
Yeah.
You only reconned his car, not him.
Yeah. But also, I was thinking with the party, there's a lot of people there. How is that garage, like, driveway not completely blocked with other cars?
True. That too. Yeah. Yeah, there should be a lot of cars on that street. Or it's just her and like a stereo with like a bunch of the sounds of people cheering in a pool.
Yeah. It is funny though too, like in retrospect, like and that having not se only vaguely remembering this movie, I haven't watched it in years, but like when that guy inexplicably is like, "Oh, I just wanted to come with you guys on a boost," you're like, "Okay, well, where's it? You might as well be wearing a red shirt
Might
because
as
like
well be
you're
wearing a
getting
red shirt,
fucking
yes. Yep.
murked."
Yeah, you are a dead man. But I mean, they don't kill him off, but he is
No.
definitely, yeah. It's like, well, now you guys are in trouble. Yep. Nope, three's a crowd. So yeah, I guess back to the Eleanor heist. The helicopter. That helicopter is not chasing them through the fucking aqueducts under the overpasses, right?
No, I don't think that's. I don't think helicopters are known for going their ability to go low. I think they maintain a height.
But when he pushes the baby a go-go button and, you know, accelerates to, you know, he's gone, you know what a helicopter can do? It can go up. You know? Like that's the thing. They're like, oh, we lost him. It's like, yeah, or you could go up at an angle and keep him in sight. How about that?
Yeah.
These aren't very good cops.
No, that's a fair point. I never thought about that. But it looked cool.
Yeah, it did. It definitely looks very cool. Yeah. And of course, we got the homicide cops telling Grab to stay away from their case because Kalitri's theirs. Oh my God. I love tough guy cops in a Bruckheimer film.
Yeah. The other part of this movie that I found, I mean, it's one thing that like when Memphis shows up with the car, that last car's all beat to shit. But I was like, you do kind of feel like Kalitri is like an extra bit of an asshole for not like for being like you're 12 minutes late, it's over.
Yeah.
It cannot be that time
I asked
sense.
for 50 cars, not 49 and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, unless if the frame is not bent, he's right. You can fix it up. It's still good.
Yeah.
It's drivable. I like the stories of Eleanor. Drove it off a pier once. Yeah. Oh, man. His history with Eleanor. Oh, jumped over Michael Peña as well with this scene. What kind of perv gets his jollies off playing with dog shit, man? Oh, yeah. Good old Michael Peña. I
That's
love
it.
him in Ant-Man. I
Yeah,
love
no, yeah.
him in Ant-Man.
I love him too, but it's watching this. I'm pretty sure I've heard him like talk in like in podcast interviews about like how early in his career he was like so typecast as like playing like Mexican cholos and gangbangers and stuff.
Gangbanger,
And then yeah, I'm watching this movie and I was like, this is what he was talking about.
but you know who would have been a better person to show up? How about Johnny B? Maybe Johnny
Yeah.
B should have been the one of, whoa, you're playing with dog shit, man? You guys are fucked up. I don't know. Johnny B was much more hardcore than Michael Peña was. So yeah, big car chase, and then he gets there late, so he has failed, and we're gonna take his life instead. But he's saved by breaking a chair. I mean, really, that's what starts Nick Cage on the road to victory, is breaking that chair and getting the bad guy on his heels, you know, like Whoa, his head wasn't in the game for the whole rest of that fight, I think. He didn't hear the cop coming, all because he was thinking about the chair that he broke.
That was his one weakness. His love for wood was exploited.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God, the damage that that psychological damage that that did to Raymond Kalitri. It's insane. But yeah, the cop shows up, saves the day, and we've got our hero cop. Well, I guess except Memphis kind of saves the cop in the end because, you know, ends up bumping the guy. You know, it's a good old bad guy death of knocking him over a deep hole.
Yeah, it's like
landing
it's
him perfectly into his coffin.
And then it's still mirrors Fast and the Furious. The cop lets him go.
That's right. Exactly. You landed me right smack dab in the middle of a moral dilemma, Reigns. Yeah. And then at the end, a clean-shaven Kip buys Memphis his own car. The kid is getting his fingers sucked by Angelina Jolie, even though she's sitting on Nick Cage's lap. So, family, I guess.
I don't got friends. I got family.
Sphinx gives his impassioned speech about...
Who?
About, I don't know, life and...
Who we should feel sorry whatever. For.
Yeah.
Is that what it's about?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Something like that. And there we go. They go for a ride in the real Eleanor, and the end, that is gone in 60 seconds. Oh, boy. There's a Volvo on the list. Lisa is a 2000 Volvo Turbo. Okay.
I was just thinking how we didn't really even get to discuss Timothy Oliphant, which is weird, but it's kind of because the cops in this movie are, like, so one-dimensional.
They
like
are.
Like he Timothy Oliphant's character is literally just like he's just there to kind of like do the witty one-liners and the little quips so that yeah. Castlebeck can be like, you're damn right.
Are you okay? You just went through a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he has lines like that. Yeah. Yeah, no, Timothy Oliphant, I mean, I do like Timothy Oliphant, and I think it's because of this movie. Like, I'm not a Justified watcher or what was the other big one that made him famous? Wasn't there another series that made him famous other than Justified?
I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean, a few episodes of The Office. But, I mean, Timothy Oliphant, it's like, I liked him with Go, and I liked him with this, and I like him as the bad guy in Live Free and Die Hard. I mean, you know, I do like when he shows up in something, but I'm not a huge follower of his career, you know, because I don't watch his series. But I do really like him in this movie. But you're right. The cops are just kind of, yeah, they're cops. They're doing their job. They make them a part of their care. They don't have quirks like everyone else. They don't have weird little things.
More like Timothy Oliphant Hitman. I feel like I've always thought that movie was underrated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's one of those video game movies that actually kind of understood the assignment. You know, they're like, okay. Yeah, I see what you're doing there. Yeah, and then isn't the second one like Billy Zane or some shit?
Yeah, it's like Ed. I think it's Ed Screen. I never watched it.
Well, there we go. That's gone in 60 seconds. Now, Colin, on IMDb, it scored 6.5 out of 10. Has a Metascore of 35. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 26% on the tomato. Man, critics just hating it. Audience rating of 77%, though. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like hitting a police car through a wall with a wrecking ball. I came in like a wrecking ball. Hit us with some reviews.
Will do. I was shocked at how low the Rotten Tomatoes score was on this movie.
Right?
Just yeah. Because I just remember people loving it so much when I was young.
Yeah, but that's critics, but still, like, I thought the critics would have, yeah. Come on. It's brain candy.
Yeah. George M. says 5 out of 5 stars. 5 bags. Cars, cops, big time Oscar winners. Another misunderstood Cage gem. They trash this movie because they can't see the popcorn connections. They see some B-grade car chase flick. I see Howard Glass from Punisher and Johnny Blaze talking. They see a bunch of bloated A-listers taking a check. I see romance. Did you know that before Anthony Hopkins, Mike Douglas, and Connery all vied for Catherine Zeta-Jones' affections, Nick Cage and Billy Bob Thornton were both trying to get with Jolie? That was before she was with Brad Pitt. When this movie was made, so many lives weren't ruined, and now they have been. So strap on for this thrill ride of a Cage classic.
Wow, that one just took me on this whole passage of time. It's, oh my God, look at this. Yes. Is this the linchpin in the downfall of those celebrities and their relationships? And a lot has happened since then.
Yeah, Mike J says 5 out of 5 stars, but then says not in any way, shape, or form is it a good or memorable film.
That person doesn't know how the star system works.
Kyle M says 3 out of 5 stars, unofficial pilot that paved the way for Fast and Furious, improving the mismatched concepts, unfulfilled promise within a heist narrative's improbable room of igniting any sort of pure adrenaline to justify whatever riding potential that was perceived initially, therefore finding no relations to the frontal title. The climactic singular car chase is the only decent thrill out of the bland, generic, stereotypical build-up, albeit humorous occasions, as appealing instance from mostly forgettable characterization aside, the main well-casted drivers that assisted in delivering minimal satisfaction amid the payoff. Put away the thesaurus, bro. But regarding as a whole, maybe the stick with the Fast and the Furious, as well as any films within the 10-year diameter, starring the cast in more captivating, less typical showcases despite their usually equipped charm.
Wow. Okay. He had a lot to say.
Yeah, I don't know that any of that actually like makes sense.
No.
Douglas B gives this movie a half star. Eleanor, that's it. That's the only reason to watch this unbelievably terrible movie, and even she isn't enough. I just rewatched this for the first time in years, and it's stunning how bad it is. Screenplay, direction, acting, all of it. Angelina Jolie and Robert Duvall must have lost a bet, and this movie was their punishment. Even as a car guy, it's cringe. The movie full of cars, amazing cars to be sure, didn't even bother to get a shred of car culture right. A Shelby GT500 is definitely a unicorn car, but they even get that meaning wrong. The only good thing about this movie is that it created an entire industry of remaking Eleanor Mustangs, and that's nearly enough to forgive it. Nearly, but not close.
Well, he'd be disappointed to know that those are not real cars anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got for reviews.
Right on. Angelina Jolie, Robert Duvall, and Nicolas Cage, I believe, are all Academy Award winners for best actor and actress. So, got some heavy hitters. And you got Master P. Fuck yeah. Oh boy, this movie. I mean, I've said it twice now. It's brain candy. There's gunplay, there's action, there's Nick Cage, there is laughs, there are. It's a stupid movie, and I still love it. I mean, I don't mind how stupid this movie is because I go into it and I know what I'm getting when you have a movie that is a Bruckheimer production. It's still a fun one. I still had so much fun with Gone in 60 Seconds. That's all I'm gonna say about it. I thought it was great. Colin, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. I had a lot of fun watching this movie. Like I said, I haven't watched it in years, and I was kind of like, oh, I bet I was kind of going into it thinking like, oh, it's gonna be bad. Like it's not gonna hold up. It's gonna be terrible. But I actually thought it was like so much fun. I thought all the performances were great. The story, like I love story where I love movies where everything just starts. For like, yeah, I'm not a car guy, but like it's still an enjoyable film to watch. And I really like Christopher Eccleston. I don't know how you say his name. I just thought like I actually I would have liked to see more of him in this movie.
He's a good villain. That's the thing. I mean, when we went down that cast, that is a big star-studded cast. There are several big names in there that except for the one that doesn't have the one non-clickable one. Everyone is out there doing their thing. They are all crushing it. And yeah, they're having fun. So why can't I have fun? Mm-hmm. Have some fun. Go watch Gone in 60 Seconds. I get it. It's a dumb movie, but whatever. It's a fun movie. It's a fun, dumb movie.
It's, yeah. It's like a stereotypical, like, popcorn. Like, this is, to me, this is the type of movie that you go to the movie theater for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there we go. That is Gone in 60 Seconds, and that's the show for this week. Oh, boy, if you want to help us out, well, tell someone. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast. Just telling someone, it means so much more coming from you directly saying, hey, there's this show that I like. Or if you want to help us out even more, go and tell the world. Go on whatever app you listen to your podcast on. Give us 5 stars. Help use those funky algorithms on Apple Podcasts and all those other podcast places, and help drive us up some charts, help us get noticed. Or if you want to go above and beyond and donate to the show, become an executive producer, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and you become a producer, so you get a shout out just like executive producer Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And be sure to check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. Let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter and the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Colin. One more action movie left. I'm excited about this one. Because it is another actor that we have never had on this show. I'm excited about this. So next week we get a little Steven Seagal.
Seagal.
A little
Steven. Advisor to seagull. Vladimir Putin.
He's a seagull. Yeah. Sorry, what was that about Vladimir Putin?
Isn't he buddies with Putin?
Oh, boy, I'm going to have to do a little bit more research before we record that one. I don't know. I know he is actually a cop right now, like a real honest-to-God sheriff of some sort of county in the United States of America. Yeah. So, I don't know. Steven Seagal. So, we are going with Under Siege. This was, I mean, I liked Steven Seagal when I was younger, and Under Siege was definitely one of my favorites of his. You know, my dad definitely had a soft spot for Steven Seagal. What about you, Colin? I don't think you've no. never seen anything Steven Seagal, have you?
I've only seen one movie with Steven Seagal that I remembered it when we were talking about this, and I was like, it is a movie that I feel like we should do on this show, but it's a movie called Half Past Dead with Ja Rule.
Nice.
It's the Steven Seagal and Ja Rule team up that the world was asking for at the time.
I think he also teamed up with DMX in a movie, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, Exit Wounds, Cradle of the Grave, one of those two. Maybe one both, those, actually. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think it was both. I think we only got that dream team once. Yeah. Well, there we go. Right on. So until next week, when we look at Under Siege, I'm Sean Wells.
And I'm Colin Stewart.
And we'll see you then on I Used to Like This One.
Yeah, Cradle to the Grave was DMX and Jet Li.